A lot of times, too, when you're quiet, you're in a place of rest. You know, when the kids are running around, and if they're quiet, a lot of times you go in and you'll find them sleeping somewhere. And they're peaceful. They're still. And a lot of times in our lives, it goes along perfectly. Excuse me. Got something in my throat this morning. This goes along perfectly with what we've been studying in our finances about not worrying. Because when you can lie down and just sleep wherever you are, you're in a state of peace. And that's what he wants for each one of our lives, is he wants us to be quiet and be at peace regardless of what's going on around us. It doesn't matter. Our peace doesn't come from what's going on around us. Our peace comes from him. And when you deal with a hurricane, where's the most peaceful place in the hurricane? In the eye of the storm, right? Well, that's where the Lord wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be in the swirling effect up here. He wants us to be right in the middle with him, quiet. Isn't that awesome? God is so good. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew 6, and we're going to just keep on with what we've been learning. And I wanted to read again from verse 24. It says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore," and that's where we stopped, and I know I keep saying this over and over again, and sometimes when I'm getting ready, I feel like, "Lord, again?" And he said, "Yes, again." You know why the Lord tells us things over and over and over again? Because he wants it to stick. He wants us to be resolute in our thinking that this is what I need in my life. So what is the therefore, therefore? It's there to tell us what happens if you choose the Lord. This is what happens for you. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? And last week we learned, he gave us an example. Look at the birds of the air. How many people looked at birds this week? I noticed birds all over. It was crazy. Look at the birds of the air. He gives us something to look at. He says, they don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. God takes care of them. Are you not much more valuable than they? God takes care of the birds in the air. We think about it, like I said last week, about them finding little seeds in the summer or spring. But guess what? God cares about them and takes care of them in the dead of winter. In the dead of winter, when there's lack and shortage everywhere, God still feeds the birds. How much more valuable are you than the birds to him? And this is the verse we're looking at today. And it says, in the NIV, it says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I want to read in a couple more translations. The Amplified says this, and who of you, by worrying, can add 1 hour to the length of his life? There's one more passion I wanted to read. Yep, Passion Translation says this, so which of you by worrying can add anything to your life? King James also says, and which of you by worrying can add to your stature? So this is talking about what can we do to change our height or add length to our lives. So what is the answer? Nothing. Nothing. You cannot add anything to your stature, no matter how hard you try. Right, boys? You can exercise and stretch all you want, but if you're not 6'1 yet, you're not 6'1 yet. Right, Luke? We've measured multiple times because this is his goal. He wants to crest it, right? He was really excited when the school put him down for 6'1 for basketball. He's like, yes! We told him it was his hair. Actually, with hair and boots, he probably is like 6'4". But we can't do anything to make ourselves taller. And we can't do anything to add to the length of our lives. It just doesn't work. We can't add any more time to our days. So our worrying, being over anxious or distracted, cannot help us. Are you listening this morning? Your worrying about your finances cannot help you. In the natural, you cannot change what's going on. Just like you can't change your height, you can't add time to your life. We can't change it in the natural, but in the supernatural is where things happen. And how can we get to that point? Well, if you are a tither and a giver, you're there. Because you've told the Lord and everyone around you, I am a tither, therefore I choose God as my Lord, not money. And when you make that choice, he will provide for you just like he provides for the birds. In one of the commentaries, it says this: no anxiety can alter your height or the length of your days. And a cubit is the least of measurement, and yet it still lies beyond our power to increase our height. There was another commentary that I loved, and it said, it was comparing why Jesus spoke about height in one context was the fact that he was talking a lot to men. And he was talking about how that if the Lord provided for you while you were gaining in stature, as you were growing, how much more will he provide for you when you've stopped growing? He will continue to provide. Therefore, say it with me, do not worry. Let's say it again. Therefore, do not worry. Now, so often, if you let yourself, there are things you can worry about all the time, constantly. So you have to be on your guard. The other day, I was having one of those moments. I was back from vacation and trying to get everything back together and trying to get, you know, everything caught up that I'd been behind in. And so, you know, sometimes in those times, your brain is tired, so it just kind of lulls, like where you feel like you're not really thinking. But can I tell you, when you're not really thinking is the point when you really need to be aware. I remember years ago when we were traveling as a young kid with my parents, and we were going to Yellowstone. It was just the weirdest thing. There were all these white crosses, and as a kid, I didn't know what those meant. But it was places where people had died, and they had a white cross to remember them in the roads. But I kept thinking, this is the weirdest thing. It wasn't in the curves. It wasn't in the parts where I would think as a kid, that's where you'd have an accident. You know, it's curvy, windy. It was in these long stretches of straight. And I remember praying about that when I was a kid, and the Lord told me they stopped realizing danger could be there, and they let down their guard. And how often when things are going so good and we just kind of lull and we get in that place where we're not really thinking, we let down our guard and worry will come in just like that. And it'll get you worried about things. I was worried about things that could possibly happen in a year from now or 2 years from now. I had to stop myself and say, whoa, 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 what in the world are you doing? Therefore, do not worry. Therefore, do not, I was preaching to myself, do not worry about that. You can't change that. You have no idea if that's going to come to pass. You have no idea what the future holds, but you know who holds the future, so you don't worry, you stand fast where you are. So when you're doing really well in your finances, be careful. That's the point where the enemy will try to come in and wiggle his way to bring worry. And what is worry? What did it say? It's endless anxiety. It's perpetual. It just keeps going and going. So don't let it in. My family and I were joking about this. When you let the enemy in, it's easy. Getting him out is the difficult part. And keeping him out. He's very tricky like that. He'll wiggle in real easily. And then when you want him out, you're kicking for days and days and days. And days. And sometimes you're like, man, is this ever going to end? It's to remind you, don't let him in the first place. Don't lay an anxiety in and worry in the first place. Keep it out. Amen? Amen. Therefore, do not worry. Do not worry. Trust the Lord with all your heart. He's got your future. He's got your finances. So just enjoy your day and let him take you where you're supposed to go in that day. You might be worrying about something when really you should be praying for someone, but you're so caught up in this hurricane over here, you're not resting and quiet in the middle where you can hear the voice of the Lord. We want to be alert and listening, because our enemy is like a lion. He's wandering around looking to whom he can destroy. And if you're alert to what the Lord is saying, you can pray for someone and stop his attack. You can pray for something that hasn't even come yet and stop it before it even gets here. That's what we want to be. Amen? We don't want to worry, because we want to be focused so that we can be warriors for him. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, I just thank you so much that we know we do not have to worry about anything that has to do with our lives. Because, Lord, we know we can't make ourselves taller, and we can't add 1 hour to our lives by worrying. We can't change the situation. But, Lord, like I was talking about, we can do a whole lot of damage to our lives by letting worry stay there. Because the enemy will start to grow roots that will take time to get out of our lives. We don't want to be those people, Father. We want you to, the Holy Spirit, come and instantly prick our hearts and our minds. Whoa, 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 you're letting worry in. Whoosh, throw up the walls and throw up the word. No, I will not worry. I will trust in the Lord with this. Father, even if we have to do it 90 million times, from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, we refuse to worry. We refuse. And Father, I thank you that as we refuse, God, we get stronger and stronger and stronger, to where when worry tries to come, we go, no, no, I don't think so. And it's not even the same battle as it used to be, because the enemy knows, oh, I'm not going to win. Father, that's what I pray for each one of us. When worry starts to come in, for our finances, our families, our futures, God, whatever it is, that we would instantly say out loud, therefore, I will not worry. And Father, we would be alert to the things that you have for us to do. We would be alert to the things you have for us in our finances, decisions we need to make, that we need to have a clear mind that's focused on you. We just thank you for that today. Bless every seed that's sown. Bless the sower. 100-fold harvest, Father, so we can continue to give to every good work. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Boys, go ahead. One thing the Lord was just reminding me of that I shared in our prayer and praise email is the fact that when we came into this building, we first came in when it was under COVID, and so we had a kind of a lowered rate. And then when they went back to the regular rate, we had a decision to make. And we have savings, so we had money set aside, and so we had a plan. But I'm here to tell you, since we signed that lease in July, we haven't had to take from our savings to pay for this building. In the natural, that does not make sense. But we chose not to worry in July when we signed the contract and said, God, if this is what you're calling us to do, if this is where you have for us to meet, you will provide. And he has provided exceedingly and abundantly above. Somebody say amen. That's the plan that God has for our lives. When you trust him with your finances, he will go beyond what you imagined. Amen? Amen. Let's come on up. So stretch forth your hands. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for this seed that goes into good soil, Father. Fertile soil, that you will produce a harvest, Father, that is going to come. We call angels, go forth in the north, south, yes, east, and the west. Jesus. Bring those finances in that are supposed to be in the hands of the people that are in this church, Father. Yes.
Yes.
Because this church, these people know where to give. They know how to listen to your voice. And you have called us to do things in these last days that are beyond what our imaginations can even fathom, but we will do them in the name of Jesus. We bind the enemy from holding us back any longer, whatever it is, Father. If there is inheritances that are supposed to be in our hands, if there is business things where we were stolen from, Father, if there are financial things that the enemy has held back, even for generations of tithers, Lord, we call in those finances to come in today. In Jesus' name, we thank you for checks in the mail. We thank you, Father, for phone calls from attorneys saying we have tried to track you down for years. We have money for you. And Father, I thank you that when those finances come into our hands, Lord, we will continue to be faithful. We will continue to make you Lord of those finances, and that we will use them as you direct us. Money, you will not change the people in this church. We are committed to the Lord. He is our master. He is our Lord. So we thank you, Father. Money is just a tool that we will be able to use for your kingdom in these last days. And we just praise you and we thank you, Father. And we say it is done right now in Jesus' name. We bind fear and anxiety and worry over excess money today. No longer will we fear having more than enough. We will not leave you. We will cling to you even with excess finances. We will cling to you knowing you are the one we need in our life to direct us. And we just praise you, Father, that we will be a beacon, a lighthouse, Father, to all those around us, Father, of your goodness, of your mercy, of your grace, of your provision, of your healing, Father. In Jesus' name, we just call it done today. And everybody said, amen.
Well, let's pray with this word today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We welcome your Spirit today in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Well, we're continuing on this message about the core values of our church today. And, you know, the theme for the year is the culture of the kingdom, right? And I'm sure you've all noticed over the past few years that the culture of our nation, right, the foundation, the history of our nation, whatever, is under attack, right, of the devil. Amen? Luke this morning was just going over, he got a copy of the Constitution, and it's like, hey, cool, our kids are learning what the Constitution says, and that is a document that was founded by people who love the Lord and love our nation, love freedom, right? And so it's marvelous to recognize the godly heritage. This is Black History Month as well. We honor African Americans that have made an amazing impact in our nation. But we shouldn't take anybody, no matter what the color of their skin is, and just put them out front and say, this is who these people are. Let's all love and respect that. Right? One of the news broadcasters I heard this past week on Victory News, I think it was, or Flashpoint or something on Victory Network, he said, we need to remember what Dr. Martin Luther King said in regards to, it's not about the color of the skin. It's about the content of the character of the person. Because there's folks out there right now that would want to say to people that look like me, and many of you in this room, that because your skin is light, you're a racist. That is absolutely not true, right? It's not about, it's just racism in reverse is all it is. It's not about the color of the skin. It's about the content of the character of the person, amen? And so we're believing God just to speak words during these times, during this year, to influence the culture and not be influenced by the culture. The church ought not be influenced by the culture. The church ought to influence the culture. Man, about, I don't know, 1 or 2 years ago, we did a series about the churches in the book of Revelation. In the church of Philadelphia, is I believe they were the straight-A student. And they showed there's pictures of that place, and the pillars of that church are still standing. Right? They walked in the love of God. But the point is they were in a city that was influenced more by them than they were influenced by the city. How many know the Northwest needs churches to be churches? Needs believers to be believers. Amen? People that will stand up and dig your heels into the Word of God and just say, you know what? I'm not going to be moved by the fear. I'm not going to be moved by the trash. Right? Amen. We are people of God's kingdom first. Amen? And the foundation text, Matthew 6:33, for one of the foundation texts for the whole year. But seek first, somebody say first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I believe there's stories like Gideon, 300 people, right? If they're just some people that will get together and stand in faith, God will change the whole, he'll make an impact on a lot of folks out there on the spiritual side of things, where spirits, the Bible talks about spirits of wickedness in high places that are controlling Portland, that are trying to control Vancouver, and with drugs and perversions and false religions and all this trash the devil is pushing on the world. If just some people will stand up and hold the Word of God as first and live that way, amen, there's going to be a change. There's a tug of war going on, right? But as believers, we just need to be people that know, no, I'm serving God first. I love God before you. Yeah, I love you, but not enough to adopt your philosophies because I have a higher authority that I answer to. Right? Amen. And churches have to be, at the top of the spear, the tip of the spear with that type of thing. We can't be influenced by society. We're influencers of society. Glory to God. People of influence, not sinfluence. Amen. And first means firstly in time, place, order, or importance. Before, at the beginning, chiefly, first of all. Somebody say, first of all. Love God, then love people. If I love Him first, I can love you way more effectively. If I love Him first, right, I can love people no matter what their political affiliation. There's a love in my heart for President Biden, for Vice President Harris, for Nancy Pelosi, for, the governors of California and Orrin Hatch Brown. What's the guy's name in California? Newsom. Gavin Newsom for Inslee, up at Governor Inslee here. We love and pray for them, for Hollywood, right? For CNN, for North Korea, for China, right? Because these are all eternal souls that are going to spend eternity in one of two places. Nobody, somebody say nobody. Nobody should go to hell. They don't have to. They're one choice away. We look at some of these folks and it's like, man, they are so far away. Well, no, they're not. They're one step away. They're one choice away. No matter how long they've been traveling that direction, they're one breath. Jesus, look at the Apostle Paul. His whole life was about persecuting Christians, arresting Christians, hating Christians, killing Christians. Until one day, he met Jesus. And what did he say to him? Who are you? You're the one that they're talking about? A lot of these people, that's all they need, is to have a face-to-face. In many cases, that's all they need. Some maybe are more like Judas. Well, yeah, I know all that stuff, but now that's a dangerous place to be in. Well, yeah, I know him, but we still need the rainbow. Well, yeah, I know him, but white people are still all racist. Well, yeah, I know him, but you're all still a bunch of haters. That's a dangerous place to live, right? So what do? We pray for these people. We love God first, and we don't allow the stuff the enemy is peddling to influence us. But we still got to live in the world. We still got to have jobs and businesses and education and all these things. But the Lord helps us. I've been reading a lot through the Shemash this past few weeks, going through it's Jewish commentary about the Torah, Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And one of the big, there's words that just pop off the page. One of them is distinguish. God's plan is for his people to be able to distinguish between good and evil, between right and wrong. Amen? And there's words like, there are three of the big words that jump off the page as I'm looking at them are immersion, purification, elevation. And it makes me think, you know what? If I just spend a lot of time in the Word of God and prayer, immerse myself, the Copelands talk a lot about this, the Eagle Mountain Church, immersion in the Word of God, right, will bring purification to my life. And then God will be able to elevate what he wants to do, and it'll bring us closer to Jesus, right? Immersion, purification, elevation. Amen. These are wonderful things that the Lord helps us to see, but we need to be people of his word to see it. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need preaching. We need all these things, right? And the Lord helps us to be about his business, right? But we've been meditating and teaching on the core values of our church over the past few weeks. And today I want to look at, this really is the one that I just felt prompted at the beginning of the year, teach about this. Teach about this. Show the people this, right? And many of you already know. So a lot of this is just foundational things we're coming back over. But I just felt compelled to teach this message right now. This is one of those messages that as a pastor I could say, if I had one thing left to tell you before I leave the earth, which I'm not, unless there's a rapture, we'll all go together, this would be at the top of the list. Because this has to do with how you converse with your Heavenly Father, right? If I was a dad and you were the kids and I was saying, you're heading off to college, you're leaving the house, here's something to remember. Because your Heavenly Father is always going to be there for you. And you need to know how to talk with him, how to spend time with him, how to fellowship with him. Amen? So the core value that we're talking about today is we pray about everything. Somebody say, we pray about everything. And I love my wife, she has such a heart for intercession and prayer, and we have an email kind of prayer chain that's always going, and if you ever had a prayer need, an urgent issue, you just send it to Shelly. I sent her one this past week about a business associate that had a house fire, and they have a lot of needs right now. It's just cool to have that kind of constant activity going. But one thing I want us to learn as a body is we need to be people who know how to come to God ourselves, right? It shouldn't always be, oh, I got to tell Pastor Shelley. No, you need to tell your Heavenly Father. You have the authority and the right and the responsibility and the privilege to go to God yourself. Yourself. Amen? There's other faiths that talk about, oh, you got to come see the priest. Don't dare talk. Don't look at the Bible. Don't pray. Just come to the priest. No. We have a high priest. We have a great high priest in heaven. His name is Jesus, right? Whoever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for us. And I was listening to a Kenneth E. Hagin series this past week. He's in heaven now. And I just was drawn to it. I was actually stopped at a Goodwill for a minute. It's funny what people will give to Goodwill. They had an entire section like this, Kenneth E. Hagin CDs. For me, that's gold. I mean, that is gold. And I'm thinking, should I buy all of them? And it's like, Lord, so no, leave some. Don't be a faith message series hoarder. Just look through it and pick one. Leave something for someone else. Oh, yes, so okay, got it. So I found one that talked about God is our heavenly Father. God is our heavenly Father. He was teaching on God is my Father. And I thought, man, if there's one thing that I want to know more about, it's relating to God as my heavenly Father. And he spent time teaching on prayer. Prayer is communing with, fellowshipping with your Father. We come to the Father, the Word says, through the Son, through Jesus, right? By the Holy Spirit. But then there was another thing I hadn't considered before. He said, and we pray his word to him. Right? So now, if you vent to anybody, vent to God. He's told me a long time ago, don't hide your pain from me. In other words, you don't have to just open this and read, Lord, let's talk about, and just start reading through Isaiah. It's like, you need some revelation behind it. But if you're hurting, tell him. Lord, don't call Oprah, right, or your psychiatrist, your spouse, whatever. No, take it to Jesus and just say, Lord, this really is bothering me. This is really hurting me. Amen? And lay it out before him. And then the Holy Spirit will help you start thinking of scriptures that apply to that situation. Amen? And to bring you through it. But the scripture that is kind of our foundation, these things are on our website as well, but Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. If you do want to turn to something, you can open to Matthew chapter 6, because we're going to spend some time there. But Philippians 4, 6, and 7 in the Living Bible, this term we pray about everything, it says this, don't worry about anything. Now, what's Pastor Shelley been teaching about, right? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. There again, he's coming back to getting quiet, right? There's sometimes I'll be, driving around town in a service vehicle doing my day routine, and I listen to messages, victory, I got CDs that I listen to, and sometimes I like a little sports or a little news, but that's really small. But there's a lot of times where I'll get to a point in the day and it's like I just need to shut everything off and just be quiet. It's like Shelley was talking about, you kind of get to the point where you're a little tired mentally, and it's like even the preaching starts sounding like right? And so it's just like turn it all off and just on your drive home be quiet before the Lord. Man, there's power in that. Just getting quiet before Jesus, right? Hallelujah. Amen. But Matthew chapter 6, somebody say, we pray about everything. I want to show you this because this is something that the Lord showed me many years ago. And I kind of got away from it for a while, but I've been back to it now for quite a while as well. But Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15, I'm just going to read it to you and then we'll talk about it, right? So, and when you pray, this is Jesus speaking, when you pray, not if you pray, right? If you have time, no, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward, right? Now, I've had people tell me before that's why they don't pray in public. Well, no, this is a heart issue. Prayer in public can also be a witness to somebody, right? Oh, no, when you do that, you should do that in your closet. The devil would like to tell people your prayers just belong in the closet. Don't come out of the closet with your prayers. No, we're talking about not showing off. Who can pray the loudest? Who can, Jesus called them hypocrites, like actors. It's a heart issue. Some of the most powerful times of prayer I've ever been in were in a corporate prayer setting. People just praying and laying hold of God, and it's powerful, right? So it's a heart issue. We don't pray to show off. Oh, I'll show you how holy I am. No, right? But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father. Now, this room word here has to do with your spirit, not a physical closet or a physical prayer room. You can have that, cool. Your whole house should be a prayer room. There shouldn't be compartments of my house that are not dedicated to Jesus. Amen? But this is talking about coming into my spirit, coming away to God. You know, drugs and alcohol, all that is counterfeit to escaping. And that brings death. When you come away with God in the spirit, man, you can go on amazing journeys with Jesus in the spirit. There's stories in here about people translated from one place to another. Not by cocaine or whatever, right? By the Spirit of God, just picking them up and putting them down. The rapture is going to be a translation. Just, woo, we're up in heaven with Jesus, right? When you come into your room, it's talking about coming into your own heart, into your own soul. That's where God, into your spirit, excuse me, where God meets with you and you alone. You have your alone time with the Father in your spirit. Sometimes I actually, God gave us an imagination. I just imagine myself in a really peaceful place in my spirit where I just get quiet. Usually I try to spend some time getting quiet before God before I get into the Word. And a lot of times I'll just see myself up in the mountains in a secluded place in a beautiful cabin with leather furniture and a fireplace and a cool, you know, like patio. And it's just me and God. And we begin to fellowship. Amen. That's called coming to God in your room. Only you and Him. Do you know how precious that is to Him? That someone would want to come and fellowship with Him? Sometimes we can think of God as, well, He has such a long to-do list. He's too busy. He doesn't care. Of all the stuff, the bad stuff that's going on in the world, why would He set aside some time for me? That's not how He thinks. You, as His child, who have accepted the sacrifice, the blood, and suffering of His Son, are the most precious people on the planet to Him. He wants time with you. He's greedy for time with you to just fellowship. Amen? And we don't come in there blasting our wants and needs and worries at Him. We just come and say, I love how Jesse Duplantis, he has such a neat relationship with his Heavenly Father, with the Lord. And he even senses sometimes when something's bothering the Lord. He shared a testimony one time. He just like, man, something wasn't right. He's like, Lord, is something bothering you today? And he said the Lord began to share with him, yeah, somebody's been grieving me, not doing what I want them to do. And he said, you know what? I took the entire day off and just spent it with the Lord. Amen. Now, that is a sweet place of fellowship between you and your Heavenly Father that's available. Amen. But this place of prayer has been so precious to me, right? Now, we need to read on here. Verse 7, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do. A lot of people would take, you know, the Our Father who art in heaven and make it a vain repetition, right? 17 Hail Marys and 44 Our Fathers. Well, no, that's not what it's about. But I'll tell you what, this Our Father portion of the scripture has made more impact in my prayer life than anything else. When there's revelation behind it, right? Hallelujah. For they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Right? That doesn't mean you don't ask. Well, you already know, don't you? No, you just pray. We're getting there, okay? In this manner, therefore, pray. Now, this is Jesus teaching his disciples. Is anyone here a disciple of Jesus? He's teaching us how to pray, right? And there are a lot of different components of prayer, but all of them, I'm telling you, are in this prayer. First thing he says is this: our Father in heaven. Hallelujah, right? And I'm going to be mentioning some verses to look up later, because there's a lot of things. This is literally years of prayer and study I'm sharing with you in a few minutes that he's brought me through. But Galatians 4:6 reconfirms that God, and there's many other verses that remind us God is not the man upstairs. He's not somebody up there. He is your Father and should be spoken to that way. You ever thought about, who am I really praying to when I pray? Is it Jesus? Is it the Holy Spirit? No, it's your Heavenly Father. It's Jehovah God, the Father. I had in my mind for a long time, like when I get to heaven, the Father is going to be off in his own little room. Only go over there when the light is green, otherwise you'll burn, right? Because he's still a little miffed at times. No. Somebody say, he loves me. My Father loves me. He loves me the same way he loves Jesus. You're his son or his daughter the same way Jesus is his son. That's how powerful that blood is that he shed. Amen? So somebody say, come to your Father. So when you pray, you're coming to your Heavenly Father in your room. Hallelujah, right? Then the next verse is, hallowed be your name. Somebody just say, hallowed be your name. Now, I'm gonna read some of this to you. Proverbs 18 talks about the power of the name of God, verse 10. But going through the names of God listed in the Bible bring great faith for victory in your life. He's Father, right? We know Jesus is the name above all names. So if you can only think of one name, use Jesus. Like you're going through your wallet, okay, which name do I use? Jesus! That stops the devil cold in his tracks every time, right? But listen to some of these names, right? Genesis 15, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Genesis 15. Genesis 16, you are the God who sees. Right? Vision, Brother Jesse said, vision creates fellowship with God. He's the God who sees exactly what I need and is seeing to it. Vision, right? Genesis 22 says, he is the Lord who provides. Right? Jehovah Jireh, or I've heard it's actually pronounced Yireh. Genesis 26, now the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful. Jehovah Rahabeth, the God who makes room for me. What does that mean? Well, what do you need? You need a church building? You want a city? Where's your faith, right? You need a new house? Come on, right? Somebody to get saved, right? You just let the Holy Spirit lead you through this, right? Exodus 15, I am the Lord who heals you. Rapha, don't ever question if it's God's will to heal you. Amen. Amen. This is one of the ones he calls himself. I am your healer. Glory to God forevermore, right? Exodus 17, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Nissi, our victory, right? Glory to God. Exodus 31, verse 13, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Kadesh. He sets me apart from the curse and over to the blessing. Glory to God, right? Judges, chapter 6, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's glorious, right? Isaiah 23, they called that place the rock of escape, Selah. He's my escape. Right? 2 Samuel chapter 5, the Lord has broken through my enemies. Perazim, he is Jehovah Perazim, your breakthrough. Amen? The names of God. He is, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. This is my prayer book right here, see? Jehovah Roah, our shepherd and our guide, right? Jeremiah 23, now this is his name, the Lord our righteousness. Tsidkenu. The devil comes to remind you of your past and failures. No, no, the Lord is my righteousness. That qualifies me for every blessing. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 48, the Lord is there, Shammah. He's the God who never leaves you or forsakes you. No matter how you feel or how it looks, somebody say he's always there. Amen. Malachi 3, he is the Lord of hosts, Saba, God of angel armies. Send the angels out, right? These are glorious names that God has that we should be remembering, meditating on, applying, believing God for. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Romans 14, 17 talks about the kingdom of God as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is what we're saying here is using this prayer as an outline. God, thank you. The other day I just spent half the morning meditating on him being my father. So it's not like you spend a set number of minutes at each thing or whatever. You just go throughout the day. You can keep coming back to it. Oh, thank you, you're my father. Thank you, Lord, for your Jehovah Nissi today, my victory and protection. You know, you just keep coming back. Amen? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are some things on earth we would like to see change? This is where you intercede. Lord, I lift up the U.S., your kingdom come in the U.S., your kingdom come in Israel and Canada and the nations of the world. Just pull out your phone, go to your maps, zoom in on Africa and pick a nation. And pray the kingdom of God on it. On your family, I apply the blood over my family during this time. I have names that I go through and pray for. And some days I can spend more time than others, right? But you're interceding. You're interceding for the church. Ministers and ministries, calling in souls to be saved. Hallelujah, right? And then the next portion, give us this day our daily bread. This is where I bring my personal requests to the Lord. It doesn't offend God that you have personal requests, right? Things that you're claiming, things that you see in the Word, that you're believing God for, houses or vehicles or education or businesses or training or salvation or healing or whatever it is. Who would be open in this room right here having church in the Colosseum? That's where my mind has been. I have information from the Colosseum. They called me during COVID. Finally, he returned my email. And he said, yeah, well, it's not really a good time right now because nobody can use this place. But here's the information you asked about. I have numbers and pricing and a contact there. Wouldn't it be cool to have a service in the Colosseum and just right in the middle of all the stuff going on over there and just bring the Word of God? I watched the making of Star Wars, George Lucas, and he went through a ton of challenges making those movies. But man, they're unforgettable. I like them. I mean, the old ones. And he said that he had an artist. He hired this artist to create a rendition, just draw a picture. And he told him, don't try to figure out how we're gonna build it. Don't try to figure out how we're going to pay for it. Just draw the biggest thing you can see. And God's looking for people like that that won't try to just figure out how he can do it. Just say, you know what? There's a huge building over there that's vacant. And there's hurting people over there. And there's a sleeping giant around here. Just allow your, in this section, you just allow yourself to go. Just pray. Just believe God. What are you seeing for your family? What are you seeing for your business? What are you seeing for your kids? What, you know, and you just cover it. Hallelujah. You see why I haven't been able to drop this for a number of years? Well, that's just vain repetition. Not for me, it isn't. It's revelation. It's not vain repetition. It's productive revelation. And progressive revelation. Hallelujah, right? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, verse 12. Remember, check your heart for any offenses. Don't carry offenses. Don't be offended at people. No matter how much right I have to be offended at them, forgive them, pray for them. I even have to forgive myself. A lot of times the easiest person to hold things against is my own self. But I don't even have a right to do that before God. So I take some time right there and say, Jesus, I forgive. I release anyone and just get quiet. Lord, is there anybody specifically right now that I need to? Hallelujah. And you just deal with it. Because if I don't, it will affect the productivity of my prayers. God isn't going to hear it. If I'm holding something against someone else and he's bled his blood to forgive me of my sins and I'm holding something, anything against someone else, that affects, he can't hear it. He's not going to listen. I want his full undivided attention. Amen? So we forgive. Somebody just say, I forgive. I forgive. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Hallelujah. This is where I go through the armor of God. We are in a battle, not against the Democrats and left-wing liberals, against the devil, right? So we get our armor on. I say, Lord, I think Ephesians 6 goes over the armor of God. I have my loins girt, the Bible says, with the belt of truth today. And I've heard it taught, some, it just stuck with me. So the word of God is going to be reproduced in my life today. And my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm standing in and on your word today. Everywhere I go, I'm looking for an opportunity to preach the word. I have the breastplate of righteousness on, which covers my heart and my organs. So I rebuke any condemnation and guilt the devil would try to put on me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Helmet of salvation. Well, everything I think and hear and see and say is of you, sir. Filtered through your word. Above all, taking the shield of faith. I know we're going a little over here, but it's worth it. Wherewith, the Bible says, all the fiery darts of the enemy will be quenched. The word faith means, Lord, today I rely completely and totally upon you for my salvation, and I will be constant in that profession today. And I take the sword of the Spirit, which is your word, which is your word. Your word will go in my eyes, in my ears, into my heart, and come back out my mouth today. Oh, man. You see why I haven't been able to get away from this for the past number of years? It's a revelation to me. I can't get away from it. I just keep coming back, right? And then finally, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Come back to praise and thanksgiving to God. Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving. In other words, at this point, I'm not stopping. I'm continuing the day in an attitude of faith, prayer, and praise. Hallelujah. These are glorious things. Somebody say, we pray about everything. We pray about everything. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth or one of those old-time guys that they asked, how much time a day do you spend in prayer? And he said, well, I think about 15 minutes. And he said, but then again, I don't really go 15 minutes without praying. Right? So you pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray in the Spirit. If you've never prayed in the Holy Ghost, get back, just receive it. Just say, Lord, I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because there's some things you just get to the, it's like a runway. This prayer is kind of like a runway. And at the end of the runway, you take off, now you're in the Spirit. And you just keep praying in the Spirit, praying mysteries, watching for God to be moving, no matter what it feels like or looks like. Somebody say, I'm sticking with it. This is how I live. Amen? This, I believe, is why you're here today. Why we're meeting in this place today. The effects of people's prayers. Amen? Glory to God forevermore. Let's all stand up on our feet this morning and just thank the Lord for his words to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name, praise his holy name, praise his holy name. Glory, 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 glory. Immersion. What were we talking about? Immersion. Immersing ourselves in his word, in his love, in prayer, which will bring purification, right? Correction to our lives, and will bring elevation. I believe if we live this way, we'll see things around us just begin to lift up. Amen? We'll see changes in our community, in our nation, right? That are good things, bringing people to God. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God. We commit ourselves to being people of prayer, people of intercession, people of praise. Oh, we praise you, Lord, for the realm that is available for us to step into, to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Ghost, and we're speaking your words. Hallelujah. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Just thank him, somebody. Just thank him. Jesus, we thank you for this open door and this invitation for us to walk in, to live in, to move in. Oh, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And Father, as we study your word, as we're doing our daily Bible readings, God, that we would notice character traits that you have, names that you call yourself, Lord God, and that we would begin to note that and notice it and say it and believe it. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.